Welcome back to Talking with Tech. My name is Lucas Duber up here in sunny Portland, Oregon for once. Joined as always with my friend Rachel Madel. How are you?
I'm great. It's sunny in Portland. Always sunny in LA.
Well, I was thinking it's a little wildfire-y in LA right now, which is too bad.
It's true. It's sunny and smoky for sure. I was actually like noticing on my windowsills there's ash inside my house.
Wow.
Which is alarming. You know, it smells like smoke for sure out there, but the fact that it's collecting on my windowsills is alarming.
Well, everybody make sure to stay safe. I know this is a tech podcast. There's lots of ways to get alerts and things now. But I just read that it's the wildfires there are the size of New York and Boston combined, which kind of blows my mind. Well, anyway, on a more relevant note, we actually had a really fantastic conversation with Tom Ladd, who works with the app called Prose, and then secondarily Smart Stones, which is their sort of their interface system, I guess. So he talked to us about their broad interface, but then also about how they're bringing in brain computer interface into this piece, which is really unusual for a tablet.
Yeah, it was really interesting. So we met Tom at Asha actually, and we just kind of happened to stumble upon his stand, and he showed us kind of how it worked, and it was really fascinating.
Yeah, it's a big evolution for the software, and I've been working with with brain computer interface stuff experimentally for years now, and to see where this has come is fascinating, especially because I've got a big background working with eye gaze select, and so that brings me to the question basically is how do we make these determinations in therapy, right? Like who's appropriate for what access method, and do they need to be exclusive?
Yeah, and it's something that I don't do a ton of work in as far as eye gaze and access issues. I work with a lot of kids with autism, so it's not typically an issue. But it's fascinating that the technology is evolving in a way that we're able to, use EEG in ways that, like, I never thought was possible. He talks about thought to speech, which is an interesting concept. Being able to train your brain to think of something, and then that translates then to speech, which he kind of explains more in the interview. But it's fascinating that the technology is, capable of something like that.
Right. And it's all about matching patterns. So just to tell the story, I mean, I went to Oregon Health Science University some time ago and used a BCI system for communication. And the way that worked was actually by training your optic nerve. So you would do this calibration process where, your mind would essentially be taught to respond in a certain way to these optic stimuli that are, working at different frequencies. And then based on what the computer sees with that pattern after the calibration, it'll figure out where you essentially should be looking. So without any eye gaze system, you still could look at the letter E, and eventually it'll identify that that's what you're looking at. And it was magic back then. And it sounds like there still is, pretty substantial calibration here. And there's obviously concerns, in terms of who's a right fit because of what they have in terms of electrical activity. But to see this actually breaking into tablets in a meaningful way is amazing.
Yeah. And I think that, one of my concerns was, like you mentioned, the fact that this is not necessarily the right fit for everyone. You need to have a high level of attention and focus in order for this to be successful. And, a lot of the kids, especially that I work with, they're just not, their executive functioning skills are just not there at the moment. But, for people who are, as he mentioned, locked in, they don't have the ability to access. It's fantastic.
Yeah, right. Well, and I wonder to what extent this can be used as a supplement, for folks that maybe typically use one access method, but, now can, have that access informed by the BCI piece in the same way as some people are starting to do geography informed devices. Like you walk into a Starbucks and it offers you choices that are, relevant to that context. So anyway, it was a thrilling conversation. We'll talk a little bit more about it after the break, but without further ado, Mr. Tom Ladd. So we know that the end of the year is coming up for everyone, which means that it's that time where you should be maybe worrying a little bit about continuing education credits. So we've been thinking about that ourselves, and we actually were able to line up a pretty great deal with MedBridge. So rather than $425 for a year for their premium subscription, we were actually able to line up $95 a year. So it's a $300 discount, which is like amazing, right? So if you go to medbridgeeducation.com, you can put in the promo code Talking with Tech, and tech is all uppercase. I'm actually not sure if that matters, but tech's all uppercase. Again, promo code Talking with Tech, and that'll get you the $95 price, which includes a lot of pretty awesome stuff. Like if you're listening to us because you're into AAC, there's a great presentation by John McCarthy out of Ohio University, a whole big series about pediatric intervention. I know, Rachel, you found one too.
Yeah, I'm really excited. There's one by Laura DeThorne. She's out of the University of Illinois. It's called Eyes on the Prize, Communicative Competence in Children. So I'm just always kind of a big believer in supporting the presumption of competence. So I think that that could be a really good one for
That's our great. Well, and there's 365 total SLP courses, so there's a ton there. There's also a lot of stuff that you might encounter with your practice along with AAC, like dysphagia, other things. There's some great education. The other thing that's really neat is that because it's the $425 subscription that we're getting for $95, you have access to their whole pinch patient education library, which has a whole bunch of materials that you can hand out to families that you work with. So we're really excited about this. So go to medbridgeeducation.com, use the promo code TALKINGWITHTECH, and you'll get this really amazing discount. Welcome back to Talking with Tech. My name is Lucas Duver, joined as usual by Rachel Madel. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm great. And our new friend, Tom Ladd from SmartStones. How are you, sir?
I'm well. Thank you.
So we're thrilled to have you on today. I mean, there's a whole bunch of great topics here to cover in terms of brain-computer interfaces and other things. But I don't know. Let's maybe to start, like, tell us a little about yourself and how you got here.
Well, I live in Toronto, and I first was introduced to SmartStones a couple of years ago when the founder, Andreas Forslund, had developed a touch stone that would be used for nonverbal individuals. This was driven by his own personal experience looking after his mother, who was intubated with pneumonia, and was in the usual squeeze my hand, if you're thirsty. If you're hungry, blink twice. And as a designer, he thought there must be a better way. And so he developed a program for nonverbals to communicate through touch gestures on a stone or an iPad.
So what differentiates then this app from a lot of the other solutions then on the market, do you think?
Well, a lot of the other solutions for nonverbal individuals, of course, are targeted towards students naturally, because it's important that nonverbal students receive an education just the same as every other neurotypical student. However, those products are typically pictorial based, where an individual is learning to communicate by tapping on "I want" and then a picture of you, and then a picture of a cheeseburger or something like that, so they can string together words and phrases from an icon-based application. And I'd say the difference on pros is we're conversationally based, where so the child could type in whatever it is they want to say, and with a simple tap or a gesture on pros, they can communicate it out loud.
I just want to go back to the stone piece. Can you explain a little bit about the stone?
I sure can. That was where we began. It's not where we're going to wind up. But like so many things, it's that's life. But the stone was a sort of a self-contained device that allowed messages to be sent and received by individuals, and the user of the stone could tap, wipe the stone, and send a reply such as "I'm fine," or "I love you," or whatever was programmed into the stone.
So is this more, chunked phrases, social phrases and things like that? How do you, or is it more generative?
Well, it's whatever the user wishes now, because it's now available on an iPad or an iPhone and even an Apple Watch. And with the new Apple Watch, you're not required to have it paired to your iPhone. It's because it has its own individual SIM card. So the program has about 31 discrete gestures on an iPhone or an iPad, for example, about the same number of gestures as there are keys on a keyboard. So, and with those keys on a keyboard, we've managed to write everything by Shakespeare and the Bible too. So there's a lot of flexibility in what the user can say and through simple gestures by touching, swiping, or drawing.
So it sounds like you're saying that it could be programmed in different ways. So maybe it could be phrases for a single gesture or even individual letters. Is that the...
Oh, well, you wouldn't use it for individual letters. But what you would use it for, typically progression for kids is that they'll use the first half dozen basic phrases responsibly. Yes, no, I want, I need. And then they might point. And then they progress within days very quickly to more complex phrases, such as I'm finished, or I need to go to the washroom, or that's enough for me, or hey, what are you guys doing? So it can be used very conversationally by young individuals who are users to converse, to be kids with kids like kids.
Great. Well, and then one of the big differences for me, and one of the reasons, of course, why, you know, we were walking by your booth at our big conference and had to stop and bother you for a while was the brain computer interface piece, the BCI. So what are you guys doing in that regard?
Well, in that regard, we're using various headsets to detect EEG signals from the brain, which is a very tried and true method of analysis. EEG has been used for about 100 years. And so the headset that you saw me wear detects from five different electrodes electrical signals that are constantly being produced by the brain.
And so this technology has been around for a little bit. I remember going to a research hospital and trying a BCI interface that took forever to calibrate and these sorts of things. I guess I'm surprised to have seen the technology move so quickly. But you found success, you know, using the PROS app then paired.
Well, absolutely. It's a sort of thing that the serendipitous nature of science that sometimes somebody says, hey, I'm chocolate. Hey, you're peanut butter. We should get together. And so Andreas and the team in Santa Barbara did just that. And they realized that if they could produce a repeatable signature by asking the user to focus on a particular topic, a subject, an item, they could recognize that signal again out of the endless stream of EEG signals coming from a person's brain. Then they could use that signal, that recognition of the signal, to drive a command to our software program PROS to communicate.
So is there then a calibration process involved here, or is this something that's, I imagine, pretty user specific in terms of finding those signals?
Well, it is very user-specific. You're absolutely right. And there is a calibration process. You perhaps have seen our website, and it shows a woman who has cerebral palsy. Mm-hmm. And on her very first day, she was able to focus her thoughts to produce a smile. She focused on the word smile, pushing away of an image on a screen. And she was able to use that to say yes right away, first day. It's quite charming, actually. A few moments later, they were asking her, okay, Liz, so all you have to do is think smile and you'll say yes. And the iPhone said, yes. Oh, Liz, did you mean to say yes? Yes. You're communicating on your very first day. Yes. So here, you know, communication's everything for her. And here she was able to say yes for the first time in several, several months.
Great.
One of my questions is, how much training is that a typical scenario? You know, do some people have a harder time, you know, focusing on something? And because that would be my question is, you know, a lot of the users that I work with have a hard time with distractibility and attention. So that focus is something that's hard for them.
Yes, that's true. It does require the cognitive ability to focus a thought on a specific action, whether it's a song, mental arithmetic, movement, or an image. And typically, you might have 20, 30 hours of training by an individual so that they can focus their mind on several different thoughts, discrete thoughts, because these discrete signals need to be recognized. So it doesn't work for everyone, of course, as a result. And the software, any software is fairly inflexible. What is flexible is the user.
Yeah, I like that.
Learn how to use the system.
Okay. Well, because that one of the questions I had also was, you know, confounding electrical signals among certain populations and those sorts of things. So maybe it is, you know, it's a fit for specific people, but it's not, you have a lot of success stories.
Well, we're generating a lot of success stories, and we're constantly developing better EEG signal recognition and user stories from individuals with cerebral palsy, individuals with autism. That's on the brain-computer interface component, which is kind of interesting. It's kind of, people say it's kind of like Star Trek.
Yeah. So,
now, is the BCI something that is nice to supplement in addition to is it the PROS app? Is that something that, you know, works well in combination?
Oh, I would think so. But the real value of BCI would be for an individual who is, let's say, locked in, unable to have the physical mobility or unable to use alternative means of communication, such as, you know, physical switches, head switches, knee switches, foot taps, or something else. Because if they have physical mobility and they can type, they can certainly just use PROS.
Right. So
it could be used in conjunction, but it's really the BCI, brain-computer interface, is best suited for individuals who don't have alternative.
Great. Well, in this, you know, in my work, I work a lot with eye gaze tracking for certain individuals. But is this the way we're going? Like, what's the future of BCI? Should I start learning more?
So the future of BCI is, yeah, there's our methods of detection. The electrodes that are used for measuring the EEG are getting better and better. There's an endless cacophony of noise coming out of your brain. And to detect the signal out of it is like listening to a symphony and isolating the second oboe.
Mm-hmm.
It's not plausible until the conductor points his wand and says to the, you know, the first clarinet, time for your solo. Then you can hear it. But yep. The rest of the time, it's just a symphony of noise. And it's an endless symphony of sound coming, or signals coming out of it.
Well, that's a profound simile, really, for communication in general, right, too, that it's all about finding that signal within the noise of, you know, everything else that's confounding. Well, speaking of success stories, I do have to ask you about not to be all fanish about the Night of a Million Stars piece, but so a user of your app was there. I would just love to hear about it. I'm so jealous about the Stephen Colbert experience. So.
Well, it was a marvelous, marvelous night. Carly Fleischman is a real rock star in a field of autism and nonverbal communications. She was using the application for an interview with Stephen Colbert on Night of Too Many Stars, an HBO special a few weeks ago. And the interview began well. Carly has not only autism, but an obsessive compulsive disorder. And unfortunately, they had blown confetti all over the stage, which was her personal kryptonite, as she called it. So she focused on the paper on the stage, and the interview was aborted. And concluded live on HBO for special. However, Stephen Colbert and Jon Stewart and others very graciously suggested, actually on the program, that he wanted her to come back onto the Late Show and finish the interview as intended. He thought that her comments and her interview questions were very fun.
That's great. And so when is that? That's coming up soon, right? Potentially this week or next week. I've forgotten the date.
Not sure. You know, it's scheduled. And so we'll be able to update you guys.
That's great. Well, I'm very jealous. We've been big fans of that group of people for a long time here at my family. So, and you know, how neat to just see augmentative communication out in the, you know, pop culture is so cool.
Well, isn't that the case, right? So we have other students that in California, for example, use the software program on their iPhone, and although they're nonverbal, they have their favorite order at Starbucks locked and loaded into the machine, so the device, so they just touch gesture when they get to Starbucks and they can order whatever they want, you know, a double low-fat goat's milk frappuccino nose. And just like their friends afterward.
Yep, you've definitely got a pulse on LA Starbucks orders.
Is it goat's milk now, really? Rachel was just telling me about goat yoga the other day.
This is true. I did goat yoga over the weekend. And it's exactly what you might think it is. Yoga with goats.
That's the most LA thing I've ever heard.
I know.
Well, what can we expect, you know, in terms of, if without giving away too much, I guess, with what you guys are doing in the future? Do you have specific plans for PROS or for BCI?
Well, PROS is the applications available, and our task right now is to get it out into the school systems, really, which is where the most augmented alternative communication is begun and utilized naturally, because you're trying to prepare kids for life beyond school, just like all kids. So PROS has a tremendous applicability there. And it's so useful, as I mentioned, like for just kids being kids, conversationally going to Starbucks, or being able to work at Barnes & Noble, one of the kids, because he can, with a touch or a gesture, explain to his coworkers, yeah, I understand where this needs to go. And although he can't read or write, he's able to work part-time at Barnes & Noble.
That's great.
Our task now is to provide more widespread distribution in the school system.
And I think that's something that's really important. I think we kind of focus so heavily on, you know, individuals when they're in school, but all of these individuals who are nonverbal eventually are out of school. And I'm really, you know, passionate about finding, you know, employers that are open to hiring. And I feel like technology like yours is really helpful in that respect, because a lot of times communication is the hardest piece to get around.
Well, sure. Rachel, and now that it's actually available on not just an iPhone, but an individual Apple Watch, it creates a flexibility for the nonverbal individuals to be able to not only respond to questions, but to initiate conversation. Mm-hmm. And isn't that what most of the programs like Facebook and email and stuff is all about? Is to
right.
Respond and initiate conversation and communication between one another.
Yep. There's a great quote along those lines. It's, you know, for most of us, technology makes things easier, but for some people, it makes things possible. And that's what we're doing is all about, right, is providing access to that, you know, as you spoke to, like what happens when the school bus stops coming, you know, those activities of daily living and all of that, which I would argue in many cases are the most important part of life, right? You know, not necessarily the algebra component.
Ain't that the truth, you know, just being able to say to somebody, thanks, or I love you, or the conversational things that you and I perhaps take for granted every day. It's those little things that make the difference in people's lives. There was a French philosopher once said that the discovery of a new sauce does more for the happiness of humanity than the discovery of a new star.
That's a great line. That's great.
That is good.
Well, there's one question that we always ask, Rachel, right? Which is, what's the last app that you yourself downloaded?
I just downloaded Zoom.
Perfect.
And you know what? Typically, it was to do what? Facilitate conversation, peer-to-peer, kid-to-kid, child-to-parent.
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting to kind of think through that lens. I mean, a lot of the technology out there, that's what it's doing. It's creating connections and fostering relationships and communication.
Yep.
Well, if it's good.
If it's good, yeah.
Exactly.
Well, thank you so much for your time. Are we missing any final points here?
I don't think so. I mean, stay tuned. You know, this is the world of the brain-computer interface is growing all the time. And it's delving into areas that people thought would not be approached for years, like the ability for machine learning to meet old champions. You know, there it's they had that last year, and they beat the best professional players in the world, 4 out of 5. And I actually met the fellow at a conference recently, and he said, I'm not going to win ever again because I'm as good as I'll ever get. But the computer gets better every time I play. But we're going to use technology to continue to enhance nonverbal communication capabilities.
I have one last question, Tom. For people who are interested in looking more into your app, where can they find you?
They can go to our website, speakprose.com. Or they can, if they'd like to download it, they can go to the iTunes store and download the application at any time onto an iPad, iPhone.
Great. Perfect.
Under Prose with a colon in front.
I like your, I really like the name of the app. I think it's very creative. It's good.
Yeah.
Well, thanks so much for joining us. Once again, Lucas Stuber here with my friend Rachel Madel and our new friend Tom Ladd talking about SmartStones and the app Prose. Again, you can find that in the App Store and also at our show notes if you go to tech.speechscience.org. And if you have any follow-up questions, please also feel free to email us at tech@speechscience.org, and we'd love to pass those along. But thanks for your time.
And a happy holidays to you both.
Thank you.
So we'll get back to the interview here in a sec. We actually have a pretty cool debrief, but I do want to take a quick break to talk about one thing. So as some of you might have figured out by now, we don't really like asking for money. We've started to run a few ads here and there for things that we think are ethically great. Like we really like MedBridge, for example, that's why we run their ad. But we figured out a solution that I think actually works pretty well, which is this thing called Patreon. So Patreon works a lot like public radio in that you make a contribution that, you know, recurs every month. And based on that, you're not only able to support us, but you also get some pretty cool rewards. For even $1 a month, what you get, your incredible reward, is our eternal gratitude. We will be very happy to have that. Any little bit helps. We have 17 contributors to the site. We have a strong commitment to evidence-based science, which means that we can't just take on any ad. We can't just take on any contributor. We need to be really careful how we do it. And to do that, we, you know, unfortunately, do need a little bit of money now that we have 100,000 people listening to the podcast and even more than that going to the website. At some point, I can't pay for that all myself. At $5, you get our eternal public gratitude, meaning that you are a connoisseur of science. You will get our extreme happiness, and you'll also be on a special page of sponsors on the site. We'll also give you a special contact email address that you're welcome to use anytime for any technical questions that you might have, you know, about any of the topics that we cover, whether that's AAC or dysphagia or multiculturalism or, you know, play in therapy, whatever that might be. For $10 or more per month, you know, at that point you get access to everything below that, plus a special audio and video feed, which often contains live content, so that's something that only you have access to. And you get a free month's subscription to the Informed SLP, which is theinformedslp.com. Highly recommend it. You know, our contributor Meredith and her team do an amazing job there. And then at $20 a month, if you really want to go out there, you get everything we just mentioned. You'll be featured online. You have the open door for questions. You get a shout out on air, both on our Sunday live broadcast and on our normal podcast, and the same subscription to the Informed SLP. Now we're getting into, you know, the folks that really want to support us. So if you really want to really speak to your commitment to science in our field and, you know, the importance of evidence when it comes to treatment, you generous soul, if you were to spend $50 a month, you get everything. And I, Lucas, will call and record your answering machine message with whatever you want it to say. I can do the movie theater voice. Coming soon, we'll return your call. Whatever you need, I'm happy to do it. And then, of course, you know, the free month subscription to Informed SLP. And then there's an ultimate option. And I'm really not expecting many people to do that. But for $500 or more per month, You know, if you choose that, obviously you get everything that we already mentioned, but you also get to come and join us as a chair and interviewer for, you know, a podcast. And what you're doing is you're sponsoring at least a full month therapy or an augmentative communication device or an endoscopy for a family that maybe can't get those things through insurance or, you know, it would take too long for them to get that. So that's the ultimate philanthropic gift there. But we're totally happy. We would be so thrilled with the $1 per month contribution. The $5 per month contribution is, you know, probably less than, you know, I spend daily on coffee, honestly. And, you know, you'll get that recognition on the page. And then anything beyond that, you get the subscription to the Informed SLP, you know, potentially get me to call in and say something ridiculous on your answering machine, get shouted out on air, and all kinds of other things. So do us a favor, check out Patreon. That's patreon.speechscience.org. It'll take you directly to the page and you'll get some more information on all those reward tiers, as well as our team, story behind the creation of the website, and you know, really just a lot of fun stuff. So no matter what, even if that's not in your budget, I know the holidays are coming up. I want you to know that we appreciate you. We're overwhelmed with gratitude at the number of people that have listened to our message, and you know, we look forward to what the future will bring. And now back to our regularly scheduled program. Well, welcome back once again to Talking with Tech. We just finished our great conversation with Tom Ladd. Gosh, it was so cool to hear that story about the Night of Too Many Stars, too. I'm so jealous.
Yeah. You know, it's really interesting, the whole story with Carly Fleischman, who is the AAC user. And I had no idea that she was using his software. But, you know, I'm really excited that she had a follow-up interview with Stephen Colbert. And, you know, I think it's amazing that we're showcasing, you know, at a national level, an AAC user, someone who's nonverbal with autism. And it's just, she's fantastic and she's hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah, well, absolutely. I mean, just to see AAC used at that level, especially when, you know, we have things like Speechless that are out there and these other things. So it's really cool. And also just to see the advocacy around autism, you know, and the fact that we have the Night of, you know, Too Many Stars. And, you know, he didn't even mention it, but he actually got to meet Colbert backstage and these other things. And I'm I think, eternally jealous. That's a thanks so much to Mr. Ladd for coming on. Thanks so much also to SmartStones and to Pros, the app. Please go to tech.speechscience.org and we'll have all the show notes there, as well as links to find the, you know, the great video of the Night of a Million Stars, as well as their products. And, you know, as always, feel free to shoot us an email, tech@speechscience.org. We would particularly love to start hearing some actual use questions, because we'd like to talk about, you know, some specific interventions about how you can bring tech into your classroom and how you can really effectively use AAC. So shoot us your questions, tech@speechscience.org. Happy holidays.